I hope I can encourage you today. I've had a subject I believe the Lord's placed on my heart. And I want to just motivate you if I can. I like to hit the year 2008 with a lot of spiritual zeal. But we have a lot of enemies to our spiritual zeal. And God, people complain. Oftentimes they just feel like they're lukewarm. And we have to work hard to not be lukewarm. But I've got a text I want to give you. And I'm going to go to some other scripture. But there's one text that I've been thinking about a lot lately. I've been talking to a lot of people about this. You know, the devil wants to get rid of our morale. Even in an army, a little bitty army sometimes, if well organized, having a lot of morale, if they think they're going to win, they have a lot of energy. But if you get your morale, that's why propaganda is so important. You know, Tokyo Rose kept trying to discourage the American soldiers during World War II, making them think they were losing, and that would take the heart out of them. And even an athletic team sometimes, maybe a little bitty football team, the guy's not so heavy, if they think they can win, they got a lot of energy, put everything they got into it. Sometimes they surprise and upset a team a lot bigger than they are. So morale is extremely important. And so if you don't think your job is important, you know, I'm sure Bush doesn't have any trouble getting out of bed in the morning. He got a big job. He's president of the United States. Probably pretty excited to get up because he thinks his job counts. And probably most of the other people in high position do that also. But sometimes God's children, they think, well, I'm not worth anything anyway. And what I do doesn't really count much. And so if you think that, then you don't have much motivation. And the devil wants to tell you that. So the text I want to give you that shows what's working against us is this, and it's certainly true today, like it was when Matthew wrote it, back in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, a text I thought about a lot. And he said there, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we all know iniquity is abounding today. You know, I'm 66 years old, and my kids cannot believe when I tell them how it used to be when I was a boy. You know, when I was a boy, I remember one time old Diddy Dean, who's a sportscaster, a great pitcher, and then became a sportscaster, he said one cuss word on the radio, and they cut him off. So times have changed. And there have been a lot of changes. And iniquity is abounding. And we well know it'll probably get worse. So God's word said, because iniquity shall abound, lo, then he shall wax cold. But I want to encourage you today, and I want you to, I hope when I get through, and when you meditate on what I'm going to talk to you about, and maybe go over the scripture I'm going to give you, I hope you'll work with all your might. But when it's all said and done, what you do really doesn't amount to anything unless God's in it. But if God's in it, everything is different. And some of the jobs God asks us to do are not all that important, we don't think. But really anything God asks us to do is very important. But sometimes we don't think it is. And I think some of us probably, if we had some big job to do, we might go do it. But we say, well, he had me to do a big job. A little bit mundane job, so I don't think I'm going to put my heart into this. In fact, there's an article that Sister Jean Hunt wrote, this last issue of Adam Rea. I'm going to try to get her to send me an electronic copy. And she talked about what all the motivate women to do what they do. The dear sisters that change the diapers and do the cooking. And it's just amazing. The article is just such a, in fact, I got to see her this last week. It's an amazing article. And the verse she gave, which we'll get to that later probably, is whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. And great, if you simply got that paper, if you put that thing on your night table and read, y'all read that. I got a lot out of that. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. But I want to go first of all, and I'm going to go to a lot of places in the Bible, so be patient with me. I'm going to go first of all to John chapter 2. It's an incredible lesson here in John chapter 2. And here's the point. When God gives us a job to do, it may not seem to be all that important, but we need to do it with all of our might. All of our might. And I'm hoping this year you'll try to do everything you do with all your might. Put some heart into it. Knowing all the time, however, without God's blessing, it won't amount to anything. But we can depend on it, God's blessing, if we do what he tells us to do. Right? There's a real good lesson here in John 2. Let's look at that just for a moment. I'm just going to start there in verse 1 and read several verses. It's really important. And the third day, with a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. I don't know what's going on there. Mary knew something was going on. She knew her son was unusual. I don't know what all had happened until the Bible let us know, but she knew something was going on there, which even mentioned this to him. She didn't have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. But then she gave a profound statement, and I want to give it to you today. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's a great, I got that underlined in my Bible with a red pen. That's pretty good, isn't it? Whatever he saith, do it. Whatever he saith, do it. I remember one time Brother Bradley, if you'll let me digress for a moment, preached a great sermon on the brothers out there who were fishing all night and had taken nothing. And he said, have you taken nothing? And they said, Lord, we've pulled all night, we've taken nothing. He said, cast your net on the right side of the ship. I'll never forget his sermon. And they said, we've toiled all night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we let down the net. It was a great sermon. And of course, then they got a great, so they said, because he gave the word, even though they hadn't toiled all night, had had no success, because God said, do it, they said, do it. And they did it. And they were obedient. And they were greatly blessed. And so here, Mary gave a great statement. Whatsoever he says, you do it. And I want to encourage you to do that too. Because God tells us what to do in his word. Sometimes we don't want to do it. Sometimes we don't feel motivated to do it. Just do it. Just do it. But here's what, I like all this. I just love the Bible. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. So Jesus gave them a mundane job, did amount to hell of beans, really. Anybody can fill up a water pot. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they could have said, well, you know, that's not much of a job. They might have half-heartedly done it, fill them halfway. Slopped around, not done the job right. But I love this next thing. I got this underlined too. A lot of stuff in my Bible underlined. And I love this. And they fill them up to the brim. They fill them to the brim. They fill them to the brim. They just fill them up and they couldn't get any more water in there. He said, fill them up and they just fill them up. Brothers and sisters, whatever we do, we need to fill it to the brim. Some simple job, just do it. But then, thank God, the Lord did the working part. And that's in our life, nothing I do, being a father, I might try to be a good father. If God does not bless my efforts, my children won't turn out right. But I'm going to be a good father anyway. If I be a good husband, my wife may not be what she ought to be. She is, of course, but she might not be. If she won't be, if God's not the matter, but I'm obligated to do the best I possibly can. And so we're not responsible for results. Responsible for the obedience to God Almighty. And he gives results. And here's the beautiful part. Oftentimes, our precious Lord gives results far above anything we can imagine. That's what he said in Ephesians 3:20. Now, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or even think. I love that. And, of course, then the Lord, I'll read the rest of this just for another verse. And Jesus said unto them, draw up now and bear the governor of the feast. They bury it. And then, of course, you know that was better wine than the original wine. This is Jesus' first recorded miracle. But the part I want to leave with you, they fill them up to the brim. All right, let's go to a couple more places. Let's go to John chapter 9. While we're in the book of John, we'll stay here for a few minutes. It's something pretty near on my heart right now because of the death of my brother-in-law. But let me read this to you. And also, if you want to put your finger in places, I'm going to stick my finger to Ecclesiastes 9:10. I'm going to read that to you in just a minute and put these two together. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. You know, I've been preaching for 40 years, and I still got to say Job, Psalm, Ecclesiastes to find it. Okay, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Yeah, slipping a little bit. So if y'all don't feel too bad. But this is pretty powerful. We're no kidding already. In John chapter 9, verse 5. Well, actually want verse 4. Christ said there, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. You know what? The day is when he was alive. And that's true of you also. To tie that in, before I make my comment, let's go to Ephesians chapter 9, look at verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might, like they fill them up with water to the very brim. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might, for there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. And we're all going to die one these days. Y'all already know about this, and I appreciate your sympathy, but a couple of days ago, my sister Rebecca, that y'all all love so much, she used to be a member here, and God's amazing me how he orchestrates things sometimes, how merciful he is. I got to go up there and see her yesterday and came back. Seth took me up there. I'm going to go back to the funeral, Lord willing, on Wednesday. But I just want to tell you the tender part, first of all, make you feel like God blessed her, she feel like that. They got up early in the morning, and David always got coffee for her. And so he brought the coffee to her, and he had his head in her lap. She had rubbed his shoulder, said how she loved him. As her normal habit was, they're listening to the Bible on tape. They love to do that. I mean, I didn't know that, but she told me they did that for a couple of years. Like a couple of years, that's all they'd like to get up in the morning and listen to quite a while, the scripture on tape. So I listened to the scripture. She's telling how much she loved him. And then he's only 60 years old. Looks like he's healthy, big old bull of a guy. And so then she asked him to change the CD. And really kind of humorous in a way, because she wasn't getting edified. It was over to Leviticus talking about incest and leprosy and stuff. She said, hey, I really don't need this important. She remembered that, even the humorous part. So he got to change the CD. He changed the thing, and then he walked over and just clapped and he'd gone, just like that. But they had a tender time. The point I'm making is, friend, we don't know how long we're going to live. We need to love each other. We need to love God. We need to do what we can to serve God. So sometimes we put things off. I'm going to start memorizing next week. I'm going to straighten my life up next week. I know I need to repent, like I've been preaching to you last month. I need to repent. I know I need to get close to God, but I've got plenty of time left. I need to read my Bible. You daddies, I need to get with my kids better. I got this short window of opportunity for my children at home. I know I need to be getting rid of those Bible studies, but I'm just so busy, I just can't do it. Brethren, we don't know how long we're going to live. And God's Word says, let me read it to you again, say that's in mind. Whatever thy hand findeth, to do with thy might. There's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave for the soul ever thou goest. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I don't like those kind of tactics. But I'm just being realistic with you. God's Word says over there in Psalm to teach us to number our days. We may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I'm going to tell you one of my main enemies the devil used against me is procrastination. That tries to ruin your life also. And one reason I procrastinate, I'm not motivated enough. When something I really want to do and I feel like I'll be successful at it, then I am motivated. But a lot of times I'm not motivated. I procrastinate. But I need to be obedient to God. Isn't that right? All right, let me go now to some other places. Let's go to John 15. Let's go to John 15. Because I want to give you some encouragement. Now, let me tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not being Dale Carnegie today. I'm not a motivator. I'm a Bible preacher. I'm not saying you can go up there and pick yourself up with the bootstrap. You can do anything you want to do. You can put your visualization on the refrigerator and imagine it. It'll come true. I'm not preaching that kind of stuff to you. Now, that's a lot of hogwash. That's a lot of hogwash. A lot of people think you can do anything you want to do. You can't do anything you want to do. You're a sinner. You're weak. You can't. I get all kind of motivational stuff. I like to exercise, a lot. So I got a lot of emails from, I got all these lists I need to get off of probably. But all these guys talk about you can do anything you want to do. And while they're young, that's probably true for a little bit. But I tell you, they're going to wear out one of these days too. Like old Bill Lee was a horse of a man. And he said, when I hurt my knee, and I was playing football for the University of Washington, I thought my life had come to an end. I thought I'd gone. I used to wake me up, eat raw meat practically. And some young people think they can do that. Brethren, I'm not telling you you do anything you want to do. I'm not telling you to put your life on pursuits that won't amount to hell eventually in the end. But I am saying when we do what God wants us to do, God Almighty gives us the strength to do what we need to do. So see, there's a balance in there. I can't go out in self-confidence, but I can go out in God-confidence. There's a balance there. So I want you to be highly motivated, but not motivated in the strength of the flesh. Let's read John 15, a few verses. What you ought to want to do is bear a lot of fruit. Don't bear just a little bit of fruit. You ought to want to bear a lot of fruit. I'll show you why in a minute. You can guess that already. You ought to want to bear a lot of fruit. We ought to want to be motivated Christians, energetic Christians, busy Christians, ambitious Christians are what we ought to be. Holy ambition. Because what we do, friends, is for the glory of the Almighty God. Not to glorify ourselves, not for self-gratification, but for the glory of God. But here's the beautiful part about it. Some people seek happiness and they never find it. But when we be obedient to God, it's a byproduct, it's true spiritual joy. Many people are pursuing joy selfishly. But you will never find it. I guarantee you'll never find it. Especially if you're born again. If you're not born again, you won't really find it. But if you're born again, I know you won't find it. But if you be obedient to God with all your might, friends, your life takes on meaning then. Wonderful meaning. Because what were we made for? To glorify God. I'll prove it to you. You know the text as well as I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. You're not your own. You're not your own. You're not your own. Casey, he's giving me some amens over here. You're not your own. You're bought the price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirits which belong to God. Let's read John 15. This encourages me very much. I can't do anything on my own. I'm a weak person. You don't know how weak your path really is. But I'm strong in the Lord Jesus Christ when I walk with Him. But another one I just thought about, I might go to if I get through all these other ones. I'll tell you where it's at. If I don't get there, 2 Corinthians 12, one of the pre-scriptures of the Bible. When Paul said, I'll just tell you what it is without going to it. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And the Lord said, Paul, your strength will be made perfect in weakness. And my grace is sufficient for thee. So you're being energetic, but you're not in your own strength. You're walking with God Almighty. You're having fellowship with God. We've got to have fellowship with God to have the strength I'm talking about. All right, let's look at John 15. I'm the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, and may bring forth more fruit. Let me say something encouraging about that. God prunes us. Brethren, if you go through some hard times, God may be pruning you. You'll bring forth better fruit. I remember Jim Paul Blavati's brother, just a preacher, came here one time and he preached about sucking tomatoes. You have these tomato vines, have all these suckers on them, but you have a bunch of little old crummy tomatoes. If you don't pull the suckers off, and you think you're ruining that vine, but you're heading because you have some great big tomatoes will come because those suckers were sapping that vine. Brethren, God, sometimes, I'm telling you, some of the hardest times you're going through, look up and take courage because God may be pruning you. You bear better fruit. My dear sister told me this yesterday. She's probably right about it. I know she's right about it. She said, Zach, if I had an easy life, I'd be a very, very shallow person. She's not claiming to be deep, but I think she's deep. Most of us think she's deep. But she don't think she's deep. That's just the way it ought to be. But she made a good statement. If I had not had a difficult life, I would not be walking with God very much. I'd have a very shallow life. And brethren, in most of the cases, that's true of all of us, because we're so prone to sin. So the sufferings you're going through, God will sanctify those to your good, my brother, and sister, to His glory. So I want you to take heart. He's purging. Sometimes we wonder why bad things happen to good people, as that old book says. And of course, none of us are good, but you don't want to talk about comparatively speaking. And the reason is, my friend, because God Almighty is chastising His people, which is the same thing as purging them. And God's Word says the reason He does that is He wants them to be a partaker of His holiness. Isn't that good? That makes you want to shout, doesn't it? Now, we need His Word, precious dear friends. Look at verse 3. You'll get cleaned up a little bit. Now you're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Get in that Word. This last week I couldn't study. I was with my family having a good time. I didn't want to be a party pooper. Well, I'll tell you what I did. I'm not bragging either. I'm just giving some examples. So when I do something good, I want to tell you about it. You do the same to me, we build each other up. I read the Gospel of John through twice. I didn't blow any parties, but when I got all by myself, and so sometimes you did with the town stuff, I got my Bible, I read it. I couldn't study, but I read. I had a big time. And when I went to Cincinnati yesterday with Seth, I read 15 chapters out of Matthew. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, you just need to do it. Take your Bible and do it. If you got to, do what I've done. Laminate your scriptures, waterproof them. You need to memorize scriptures while you're taking a shower. You can find time to do stuff if you want to do it. If you think the Word of God is very important. You're clean, precious friends, through the Word I've spoken to you. Now, this is wonderful. I want to encourage you. This is not just encouraging message, I hope. Abide in me. Pretty strong. Abiding in Christ means pretty good fellowship, doesn't it? It means confessing sin, getting rid of the things that you know displease God, doesn't it? Spending time with Him in His holy Word. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So I'm not talking about Dale Carnegie pulling yourself up by the bootstrap. I'm talking about abiding in Christ and bearing fruit. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, I've got that underlined, and I'm always saying that, but I don't really get the context sometimes. I say, without me, you can do nothing. That's true. So we say, well, I can't do anything. I may just quit. But see, I'll get it wrong if I do give you that. That's not what the context is. He's just making the point, you can't do anything without me, nothing. I mean nothing. But if you will about it, then you can do some stuff. I want to keep reading because I want to go to one verse. Stop there at verse 8. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. They're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, so we're in the word, aren't we? We're in the word, aren't we? And his word abiding in us, because we're memorizing it, and we're meditating on it, and reading it. His word abiding in us. You shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. And I love this verse. I've always loved this verse. Do you want to glorify God? Do you want to? I'll just ask you that question. Don't tell me, tell God. Do you want to glorify God? You think you deserve any glory? Well, I'll tell you where Satan says something to us. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. God wants us to bear much fruit, precious friends. Now let me give you a verse along with that over in Philippians 1:11. That'll say the same thing, but I just want to read it because it said it maybe gives us a little slant on that. See, we need to bear much fruits. Can we glorify Him as we do that? And Philippians 1:11 tells us the same thing I'm preaching to you. The Bible obviously does not contradict itself. Look at verse 11 of Philippians 1. It's a prayer Paul praying here, asking something to the Philippians here in this Philippians 1, 9-11. So he said in verse 11, being filled, not just I have a few of them, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, showing the dependence we have to have on Him and we're abiding in Him, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the honor and glory of God. What a great verse. We can meditate on, we can chew on that all day, couldn't we? Just like you chew a piece of meat if it's real good. We can chew on that all day, couldn't we? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. What an ambition for this next year if we could do that, God. Help us, Lord, please. I've been praying later, Lord, let me live if I can grow. I don't live forever, but God, if I can grow in grace, let me live, Lord. I might glorify Your name, be an example of Your people. We ought to all pray that. Where every day you say, God, let me live to be an example of my children and a husband of my wife. The wise God, let me live, God, be an example of my children, a good wife, a godly woman. All the boys and girls, God, let me live and grow. I can show the world that teenagers don't have to be ungodly. They can give their claim to God. That will be our ambitious prayer. Lord, I want to live long I can glorify You. God, that Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, God, let me live or let me die up to You, but God, however it be, may You get glory and be magnified out of it. That's a holy ambition right there. All right, one of my favorites. I'll tell you what, this one right here, I never get tired of this. Some scriptures I never get tired of. I'll confess to you, being a sinner, I get tired of some scriptures sometimes when you go over and over. I shouldn't. I know that's my fault. I don't even like Leviticus. Rebecca will like it better too, probably. I'm just kind of kidding about that. But some of it we like better than others. But I'll tell you some of them I never get tired of. This verse 15, I would not preach it for a week, every day. Friends, we believe in salvation by grace. That's a wonderful word. Grace is a sweet word, isn't it? Gracious. I just love all the words that go along with it. A gracious spirit. How sweet. How good. What a word. Some people have the wrong idea about grace. We believe in salvation by grace. That means, my brethren, that our salvation is not by works, it's by grace. Not by anything we've done. So some people, when they malign grace, and many people do malign grace, you'd be amazed sometimes what people say about grace when they really got down to it. And what it really means. And one of the charges is, oh, grace makes you lazy. I even heard one time Jimmy Swaggart, before he went bad, preach a blasphemous sermon against the doctrine of God's sovereignty. He said, all of our money would dry up and our missions would cease and all that sort of thing. Motivate people the wrong way. We ought to be motivated. I'm not saying that, but we ought to be motivated for the right reasons. My dear friend, I'm going to tell you something. Grace, true grace, properly understood, what it will do, well, instead of making you lazy, will do the opposite. I'm going to show it to you. 1 Corinthians 15:10, one of the most glorious verses in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of, let's just break it down. Don't be too big a hurry about this one. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can we say that? I think I can say that. I tell you, you know where I'd be for God's grace. Brother Brady this morning, if you heard him, preached a great sermon. said one thing we ought to look back over last year, reflect on God's providential deliverances in our lives. Had not God providentially delivered us so many times, not only in a physical way from getting killed in a car wreck, but my brother, and even through sin, we would fall into a hidden infinite grace. Give us the grace of repentance we needed so badly. Almost make Chipperger alive to God, recover us by His wonderful grace. We can all must say, if we know anything at all, but the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And then what an amazing statement. But I labored more abundantly than they all. He's not bragging. He's just stating facts. And he's not through yet either. But that's what it ought to do to us. My friend, just like those people that fill those water pots up to the very brim. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. But I love it that he didn't stop there. Yet not I, he said. Yet not I. But the grace of God, which was with me. He gave God all the glory. We had a sweet time of prayer. One of my boys, I think it may be a Timothy, not long ago. I got to talk to God and the Holy Ghost came down. And I got to say, God, I want to tell you again. I want to tell you again, Lord. I want to affirm it to you again, Father. I want to affirm to you, Father, that anything in my life I've ever done good, Lord, in my whole life, I give you all the credit for it. Not partial credit, God. All the credit, my Father. Anytime I've been obedient to you, I know I'm responsible to be obedient. I still give you all the glory, my God. And not, Lord, everything I've ever done bad. Anything. I take all the blame for it, God. All the blame. And that's my creed. That's my creed, brother, whether you like it or not. And all of you like it. But that's my creed anyway. I'm responsible for my works. I know that. I'm not denying that. I'm not a robot. But brother, I'll tell you what. If an individual does not give God great glory for everything they've done right, they don't know what sinful sinners they are. Isn't that right? If you don't, my friend, you better not get too lifted up, because God may just leave you on your own. If He does, you'll make shipwreck. Peter did, my friend. Peter did. The great Peter did. Yes, sir, brother. He denied God three times. Abraham did the same thing. He was turned a coward twice. Said, my wife is not my, it's my sister instead of my wife. And you'll do the same thing according to God's grace. You have no idea how much credit and you ought to give to the grace of Almighty God. We should never be lifted up in pride to be self-righteous. Never. We get that way because we're such idiots. I should have said that part. That's not very cool to say, but you know what I mean. It's the truth. What I said. Should have said is mine. Isn't it? Sometimes we almost break our arm, pat ourselves on the back. We do some little bitty good thing. We've done a thousand bad things. I do one good thing. Say, man, look how good a good guy I am. We're all good about that. Anyway, I love that verse in 1 Corinthians 15:10. Let me give you just a few more precious friends. I won't be here all day. Look in Psalm 127. It shows how we must depend on God. In our church even, we must depend on God. In our home life and everything, we have to depend on God. Psalm 127, we'll read a verse or two there. But it doesn't mean we're not supposed to work, though. Except the Lord build the house, they let everybody that build it. Does that mean we shouldn't build? No, we're supposed to build anyway. But if God doesn't matter, it won't come out right. So we depend on God. We be humble. But we work as hard as we possibly can. We fill the water pots up with water. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman works has been in vain. But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to watch. It does not mean we're not supposed to build. But we still give God all the glory. I love that balance, don't y'all? I love that balance. Now, I want to come down to a couple of Old Testament examples that I think are almost spiritualized. These, but I think I'm warranted in doing this. I think you'll agree with me. I'm not the first guy that's ever done this, that spiritualized these two places. I want to go to 2 Kings, get some lessons. And it's the same lesson, essentially, that I started out with over in John chapter 2 about filling the water pots up to the brim. Because sometimes God asks us to do things. We might understand why He's doing that. And so if we don't understand it sometimes, we may be half-hearted about it, but we should not be half-hearted about it. So let me give you a couple of examples. 1 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And you know this lesson. It's a great lesson. I love these lessons from the Old Testament. And I hope it'll stick with you. Good word picture God gives us here from the Old Testament. And there cried, beginning in verse 1 there, chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. The creditors come to take away my two sons to be bondmen. We can't imagine anything like that. I can't imagine living in a culture where you go into debt, your family might even be broken up, and they might even take your sons to be bondmen. But that was the dire state she's in. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she didn't have much. And sometimes we don't have much. We really don't have much at all, do we? In fact, but let me come in. This is not all that polite, but I've got to do what's on my mind. You know what that a pricker ought to do? You know what I've got to do? Here's what I've got to do. If you're fed, you think I'm going to feed you? No, I'm not going to feed you. I will in a way feed you, but really the food comes from the Lord. And I was so thrilled to read it again this week, and I hope you'll always remember this. If this congregation is fed, here's what happens. I've got five little bitty loaves. I studied some. I prayed some. I dug into the Greek a little bit, maybe. But it's five little bitty loaves. That's all it is. And I've got two little bitty fishes. That's all I've got. But what happens, my friend, when you take, and a little lad was there that day. But Lord, what is this among so many? So the Lord said, bring them to me. Brother, that's all we can do. And that's all you can do too. Bring our little bitty loaves, our fishes, and give them to the Son of God. What did he do? He did a work, keeper. He broke them. And he broke them. I don't know how that worked. I must have been reading something to see that. But guess what he did? He did not distribute them himself. He could have. Why couldn't the Son of God go around that 5,000? But he didn't do it, Brother Tony. What he did, he let his disciples have a mundane job to do. That's all we do, my friend. But when we do the mundane job, and the Lord did it, it's got some significance to it. You know, the book written, The Search for Significance. We find our significance in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, in the mundane job. So he, isn't it great? He said, I'll give it to you now. You distribute it to the people. And you know, then, my friend, he had an overabundance. And maybe we have revivals on this overabundance in my prayer. He said, don't you waste anything. And brother, we should waste anything this year. Anything God gives you, hold on to it, my friend. Hold on to it. Don't be so busy. You have those wonderful thoughts that God gives you when you're studying. Go away. Take time to write them down and think about them and meditate on them. And they took up 12 back in school. The same thing here now. Let's read this in the 2 Kings chapter 4. Starting down again in verse 2 here. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she didn't have much. She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then said he unto her, go borrow thy vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. And here I've got my underlined in red now. I've got that old red pen. You hear what I underlined? Even empty vessels, bar not a few. I got that underlined, that bar not a few. Well, she believed him, Chase, in a way. I believe she believed him in a way. But I bless you. I'm speculating on this now. I think she believed him. But I believe she should have believed him more. Really, I think so. Let me read you, tell you why. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, which brought the vessels unto her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. He said to her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Now, I know I can't read between the lines, but I'm going to try it anyway a little bit. Don't you think she probably thought, man, I wish I got a few more. Because she thought there would go nothing out there. She said, get bring them out, this is exciting. This oil we're going to sell to keep us from going to a debtor's prison. It's great. Bring another one, bring another one. Mom, that's all we got. Man, I wish I'd gone down to Jones's. I went to Smith's. Excuse me, Mark. I wish I'd gone down to Jones's. I went to Smith's or Brown's. But I wish I'd got one more door. I think it's a great lesson there. Then also, let's go a few chapters beyond. Over into 2 Kings 13. There's another great lesson there also. About this zeal and doing what God said to do. 2 Kings 13, and I start in verse 14. These are wonderful Old Testament word pictures. Now, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. That's 2 Kings, if I'm going too fast there, 13, 14. Now, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, wherewith he died, whereof he died, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, O, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. Now, this is the king, and there's the prophet, Elisha. And he took him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord deliverance from Syria. Thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. He said, take the arrows. He took them. He said to the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. He smoked three times in the state. He just hit three times. He was not enthusiastic about it. He half believed the prophet. He just hit twice, three times. That's all he hit. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldst have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria thrice. But you know, he regretted that. I wish I had to tore that ground up, that air. And brother, sometimes I think we regret things when we don't put our heart into it like we should. Now I'm going to close with two practical things to tell you. One thing we ought to be energetic about is being in the Word of God. You know that. That's what goes without saying, but still we need to be reminded of it. I'm going to give you a scripture on this. We need to be, and I hope you will be. You find time to read. I know this is a good time to think about stuff like that around the end of the year. But there's no way to grow without being in God's Word. There's no way. So I want to give you this wonderful scripture from 2 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 and 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, we may grow thereby. That's a lot of eagerness there of that baby drinking that bottle, just sucking it up because he's so hungry. So I hope that you will try to live it this year, to be eager to God's Word. And then also in prayer, I want to go to Romans 12 and read you two verses there. Now, Romans chapter 12, and I'll read verse 11 and 12. And Dan Beecham, I'm going to give you time to get a good song up. I'm going to quit here in a minute. You get your appropriate song. I'll give you a little warning there. I usually don't give anybody a warning like I should. Romans chapter 12, let's read two verses. Let me read you verse 11 and 12. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. We've got to be also fervent in our prayer life. Let me just give you some encouragement. Here's another experience. I have to tell my own experiences. I can only tell you the little things I see and know. But, you know, this morning, I've been kind of tired. We've been traveling quite a bit. Seth and I were. But I got over here, and Timothy always is over here on Sunday morning. He's always getting ready to preach at Cairo. I really appreciate his steadfastness. He's always trying to get ready. And so I thought of such a hurry this morning, why pray? Isn't that dumb? You know, I ain't got time to pray. So I said, Timothy, I said, let's just take a short prayer. And my friend, the Holy Ghost came down. And we prayed. What more important thing could we have done? But haven't you ever been there? Haven't you? We don't have time to pray. I don't feel like praying. What are we going to do anyway? And I'm not going to say you always feel the Holy Spirit. He'll always be there. Maybe even sometimes we don't feel it more than when we feel it. But I want to encourage you, God will every now and then let you know, look, you're on the right track. You're on the right. I think what he tells me this morning, Zach, you're on the right track. You're getting kind of slack here, buddy. You don't have prayer on the priority you ought to have. I'm showing you, you're on the right track. You keep on praying, man. You need me real badly. I think of what he's showing me. So my precious friend, I hope I've encouraged you today. We must work hard, but we must depend on God for all of it and give him all the glory. Let's bow in prayer, and then we'll get down to give us a song. Oh, my dear Father, I know this is a very simple lesson, but it's a very important lesson. And may I live by myself, my God, I pray. Father, help me to be diligent for the rest of whatever life I've got ahead. Because it's going to be true one of these days, we're also going to go the way of all the earth unless you come again soon. And it may be more than sooner than we think. It may be an unexpected time. And so, Lord, we don't live in fear all the time because you delivered us from the fear of death. But we want to be respectful of the span of life you've given us and recognize it's true. The main things we think are important now, if we really did, like Brother Brady said this morning, if we knew that this would be the last year of our life, it'd probably make a big difference. And it may be. Someday it's going to be the last year of our life. Some of you are going to be the last year of our life. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us to sort through all this. And we might really realize that iniquity does abound. So the love of many shall wax cold. So if our love does not wax cold, it'll be because we have used the means you've given us. You've been gracious to us. You've loved me, dear Lord. And that way we can stay warm, and we want to stay warm in this cold world we live in. So God, help us today. Everything we do, even the young children, when they're obeying their parents, help them do it with all their might. When they do their schoolwork, help them do it with all their might. Father, when we do our household tasks with all of our might, everything we do, Father, I pray, we'll do it with all of our might to glorify you. And we give you all the glory, because that's where it belongs. In Jesus' precious name we do pray, and amen.